Thank you for your attention. We ask that we continue to maintain the same demeanor and disposition that we have had as an audience and as our speakers for the evening. It's been as it was last night. It's been an examination of God's Word. We'll continue that now. David Hepp will provide his affirmative speech, his second affirmative speech of the evening, and immediately following that, Don McLean will provide his second negative of the evening.
Praise the Lord, everyone.
Well, I want to deal with things. One was, I asked the question, the people that spoke with tongues, did they know what they were saying? He said, yeah. He says, I got Bible, I can prove that. It's not what the Scripture says. Scripture does not say that they understood what they said. Matter of fact, they didn't understand what they said. That's what the Scripture said. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, beginning in verse, and the Scripture, I already know what he's going to use. He's going to use, he that speaketh an unknown tongue edifieth himself. So he's going to say he's edified. I'm going to prove to you what that edification is, and it's not what they had understanding. But first I'm going to show you that he didn't understand what he was saying when he speaks in an unknown tongue. Just like today, they don't know what they're saying when they're speaking in an unknown tongue. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, beginning in verse 13. Wherefore, let him that speaketh in an unknown tongue pray. Pray that he may interpret. He's got to pray that he can interpret it, because he don't have the interpretation. Look what he says following this. He says, for if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. He said, if I pray in an unknown tongue. He didn't know what he was saying. Still don't know what you're saying. But I'm going to prove to you what the significance of praying in an unknown tongue is. It's still for you today. The Holy Ghost is still for you today. And we're going to talk about the Spirit baptism, Lord willing, the next last two nights of this discussion. But the Holy Spirit baptism is for you today. But the unknown tongue, I'm going to show you what it was for. He said, for if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. Look what he said in verse 15. What is it then? I will pray with the spirit, and I will pray with my understanding also. That word understanding means my mind. I'm going to pray with the spirit, in which my understanding is unfruitful, and then I'm going to pray with my understanding, which is fruitful. Two ways Paul said he was going to pray. One way, he said, if you pray in an unknown tongue, pray that you may interpret. You don't have to. I don't have to pray to you to interpret what I'm saying in English, because I know what I'm saying. My mind has understanding. But he had to pray to interpret what he was saying in an unknown tongue, because he said when he prays in an unknown tongue, his spirit prayeth. But his understanding is unfruitful. Alright, so what's the purpose of it? Why did he say over here in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 4, he that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself, but he that prophesieth edifieth the church. What is the purpose of speaking in an unknown tongue? How does it edify you? How do you get edified if you don't have understanding? I'm going to show you. Remember what he says here in verse 14. For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth. Look at that, what he's saying. My spirit prayeth. It's not me praying. My spirit prayeth. I want to go to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, beginning in verse 27. 26. Romans chapter 8, verse 26. He said, Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. The Spirit helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. He said, the Spirit maketh intercession. The Spirit is praying. He said, if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth. Why? How does it edify you? Because the Bible says we don't know what to pray, but the Spirit makes intercession for us. Another scripture to uphold this? Jude. The book of Jude. Beginning in verse 20. Now remember what he said. Two things we want to remember, the last two passages. One, he's going to pray two ways. One, he's going to pray, I will pray with the Spirit, and I will pray with my understanding. He said, when I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth. Romans 8th chapter said, the Spirit maketh intercessions, because I don't know what to pray. My understanding, I don't know what to pray, but the Spirit's going to pray for me, intercede for me with moanings and groanings that cannot be uttered. That's what Paul said. All right, look what he said in Jude. Look what Jude said in verse 20. He says, but ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Praying in the Holy Ghost. If I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth. My spirit prayeth. All right? I want to go back to 1 Corinthians. I want to go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. And Mr. McLean said that miracles were to confirm the words of the apostles.
Yeah, they were.
But not only for that. That's not the only thing miracles were for. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, beginning in verse 1. Follow after charity. This is a commandment. This is a commandment. This is the apostles' doctrine. You do this. Follow after charity. Remember, now abides faith, hope, and charity. Now. We got to get this first. That's what he was saying. Now abides faith, hope, and charity. But after you've gotten charity, what does he say? Follow after charity. And desire spiritual gifts. Does your preacher preach this to you? He should, because it's in the New Testament Bible. But rather that you may prophesy. For he that speaketh in an unknown, tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understandeth him. You hear what the Bible says? No man. See, you've got to understand there's two kinds of tongues. Paul said in chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians, he said one of the gifts of the Spirit was diverse kinds of tongues. Diverse kinds of tongues. But here, the unknown tongue, he says, he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men. Now, when the apostles were up there on the day of Pentecost, they were speaking unto men. That's diverse kinds of tongues, one of the gifts of the Spirit. But here, he's saying, and the gift right here that he's saying, which is his prayer tongue, he said, he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men. What? Speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man. For no man understandeth him, howbeit in the Spirit he speaketh mysteries. Does he understand what he's saying? He said, no man understands him. That's why he talks about when you bless in the Spirit and different things, they wouldn't have understanding, it wouldn't be unfruitful. That's why he said, pray that you may interpret. Now, we're going to get into the gifts of the Spirit as far as the diverse kinds of tongues. We will get into that in chapter 12. But he says, but he that prophesies speaketh unto men unto edification and exhortation and comfort. Does that sound like that's for to confirm the miracles to the heathen? He that prophesieth speaketh unto men to edification, exhortation, and comfort. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself. But he that prophesieth edifieth the church. How can we say that it's the building blocks to confirm the words of the apostles when he's saying here that it's to edify the church? It's for edification of the church. Just to give an example. Let's go down and read an example. Look what he says right here in verse 22. Chapter 14, verse 22. He said, wherefore tongues are for a sign, not to them that believe, but to them that believe not. But prophesying serveth not to them that believe not, but for them which believe. If therefore the whole church be come together into one place, and all speak with tongues, and there come in those that are unlearned and unbelieving, will they not say that you're mad? But if all prophesy, and there come in one that believeth not, and one unlearned, he is convinced of all and is judged of all, and thus are the secrets of his heart made manifest, and so falling down on his face, he will worship God and report that God is in you of a truth. God is in you. Okay, well, you hear what he said. He says, if we're in the church, doing this like we're supposed to, this the way this church is supposed to be done, is if there is no tongues going forth, if there's no interpreter, that's confusion. That's what Paul said. Don't be doing that. Go to yourself. But if there's interpretation of tongues, it's all right. But if there is no interpreter, it's not to be done. But he said, rather that you may prophesy. I want you to get spiritual gifts, but rather that you may prophesy. But look what he said. He said, because if we're prophesying, there's going to be someone that comes in, and they hear you prophesying, the secrets of their heart are manifest, they're falling down on their face and saying, God is in you of a truth. To give you an example of that, me and an evangelist were having a conversation here a few weeks back, and he was telling me about a time that he was preaching, and in his ministry as he was preaching, there was one lady in the audience, and he would say something. She said, "That's not true." So he began to preach more, and she said, "That ain't true." And so he began to say more, "That ain't true," she said. He says, "Ma'am, I'm trying to preach out of the Bible. I need you to be quiet." She said, "Well, what you're saying ain't true." And the spirit of prophecy came inside of him, and he says, "Ma'am," he says, "if that ain't true, then how come I know that you got cancer in your upper chest?" And she began to freak out and say, "I don't even know this man. I don't even know." She was silent after that. She said, "I just went to the doctor and found out just recently that she had cancer in her upper chest." She said, "I don't even know this man." After that, she was completely silent. When the service was over with and people were coming to, you know, trying to come and give their lives to God, she was right in line with them. Falling down on their face, saying that God is in you of truth. If one unlearned comes in, and we all prophesy, he says they will fall down on their face and say, "God is in you of truth." He said, what did he say? "And thus are the secrets of his heart made manifest. And falling down on his face, he will worship God and report that God is in you of truth." Another instance he was telling me about whenever he was talking with a man before he came to the Lord. And the man told him, he says, "You ain't a man of God, you're a false prophet." And he says, "Well, how come I know that you're going to be in jail 24 hours from now?" 24 hours from now. 2 months later, he said, the man came back to him 2 months later and says, "You know where I've been this whole time?" He said, "Where's that?" He said, "Such and such happened between me and my wife," and so forth. He said, "You said 24 hours later, the next day I was in jail and I've been there ever since." And he gave his life. He began to seek the Lord and gave his life to the Lord, just like the woman did. This is what's in the Bible. Now, is this to confirm the signs of the apostles? No. This is for edifying of the body, for the edification of the body of Christ. All right. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. He says, verse 1. "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant." This is something that's been taught to the church of Jesus Christ, the church of Christ. This is what the church of Christ has received. This is what the church of Christ has received. "Now concerning spiritual gifts, I would not have you ignorant." Now I'm going to come down to verse 7. "But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom." This is a spiritual gift, one of the nine gifts of the Spirit. The word of wisdom. Let me ask you a question today. Do you believe that the Spirit can give you the word of wisdom? Look what he said in James. I'm going to flip back here. Look what he said in James. I'm going through the New Testament Bible here. And if we have to say we've taken these things out, then we need to go through all these different New Testament epistles and cut with our imaginary scissors the things that we don't want in there. The Bible did not say when the New Testament is completed that tongues would cease. That is a false teaching. Nowhere in the Bible does it say when the New Testament, for me to say that or anyone else to say that, that is an error, a statement. It does not say that. It says when that which is perfect is come, that which is apart is done away. And I'm going to probably touch up a little bit on that. But first, I want to go to James chapter 1. The Bible says, "If any man consent not to the wholesome words of our Lord and Savior," Paul said that the words that I write are the commandments of the Lord. James said here in James chapter 1, verse 5. James chapter 1 and 5. He said, "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God." Does that sound like that God stopped giving wisdom? He didn't say study. We get wisdom from studying God's Word, but that's not what he said here. He said, "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him." Back to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. He says, "For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another working of miracles by the same working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits." To another discerning of spirits. Discerning of spirits. These things are for us today. To another, diverse kinds of tongues. To another, interpretations of tongues. One has a gift of tongues. Another has the interpretation of tongues. For what? For the edifying of the body of Christ. for the edifying of the body of Christ. This is the all nine gifts of the Spirit. Every one of the nine gifts of the Spirit is for the church. To edify ourselves. That's why He gives one this gift, another this gift, another this gift. I have a gift of the Spirit, but I don't have all the gifts of the Spirit. God gives another brother another gift of the Spirit. That way, I don't have the gift of wisdom, but when I need wisdom, I go to a brother that has the gift of wisdom. And I get wisdom from that God has anointed a man to have wisdom. I get wisdom from them. Everybody's got different gifts. Once you receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, you will receive that you can after you have established yourself in charity, to desire spiritual gifts. And these gifts are for the church. That's what they're for. He says, look at what he says. He says, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another, and remember, prophecy was for the church. To another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh in that selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will, for the body is one and hath many members. And that's what it's for. It's for the body of Christ. Now, talking about the Spirit, can the Spirit of God talk to us today? Can we have the Spirit lead us and guide us? Can we have a supernatural spiritual gift teach us something of God? Well, let's go to an anointing. Let's go to 1 John. 1 John, chapter 2, beginning in verse... 1 John, chapter 2, verse 26. He says, and this is the promise, or verse 26, and these things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you. He says, but the anointing which you have received of him that abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you, ye need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you all of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, even as it hath taught you, and you shall abide in him. There is an anointing that John is writing about. And he says, this anointing abides in you and it teaches you. The anointing teaches you. The anointing that abides in you. Alright, well, we find over in the Epistle of John. Or not the Epistle of John, excuse me, Gospel of John, chapter 12. No, chapter 14. John chapter 14, beginning of verse 26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and shall bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Verse 16, or chapter 16, John chapter 16, says, verse 13, John 16 and 13 says, howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and will shew you things to come. Now, what Mr. McLean will probably say, well, this was to the disciples. He said this to his disciples. He didn't say it to us. It's not for us. He told his disciples that this anointing will teach you, or that the Holy Ghost will teach you, and lead you and guide you. But is that who John told it to? When you read the Epistle of John, we see who the Epistle of John, we've got to rightly divide the word of truth. The Epistle of John, when he first started, he said, in the Epistle of John, he started off, he says, that which is from the beginning, which we have seen with our eyes and have looked upon and have handled the word of life, he's talking to the church. The first Epistle of John is written to the church. My little children, the things that I write unto you, he's talking to the church. Okay, now if we're to say that the only ones he's talking to here is the disciples that he had written down for us, then what about Matthew 28:19 when he told us to go and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost? Who is he talking to there? In Matthew 28:19, who is he talking to in Mark 16:16 when he said, he that believes and is baptized, and he said, go ye into all the world, Mark 16:15, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. Who is he talking to, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved? And the Great Commission, they call it the Great Commission, Matthew 28:19. Who is he talking to? Are we to go out and make disciples? Is that what we're supposed to do? Well, he didn't tell us to do that. Well, they'll say, well, we don't use that. We use what Paul told Timothy. Well, if we're just looking at who he's talking to, Paul told that to Timothy. He didn't tell us that to us. But we understand that what Paul told Timothy, he's talking to ministers. The Great Commission was to the disciples, but it's the preachers. The Great Commission is to the preachers. We can't just take the Word of God and say, okay, who is he talking to? Oh, he was talking to the Pharisees. That's not for us. Who was Jesus? Jesus was always talking to somebody, and it wasn't you, so it must not be for you. Because if he wasn't talking to you, he wasn't talking to you. But he said here, he says, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. He will guide you into all truth. When I read these words, I can know that he's talking to me. He's not just talking to the disciples. When I read, go out into all the world and preach the gospel, I know he's not just talking to the disciples. When I read 28:19, he tells me to go and baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. The name of Jesus Christ. When I read that, which is the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. When I read that, I know I don't have to say, well, you weren't talking to me, Lord. I don't have to go out and make disciples and baptize. All right, we're going to go to... thank you, Jesus. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Verse 8. Charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, it shall cease, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. Knowledge will vanish away. Knowledge is going to vanish away. When I was a child, I spank as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now, we see through a glass darkly. But then, face to face. We're going to see face to face. When that which is perfect has come, we are going to see face to face. The Bible says, when we shall see Him, we shall know Him as He is, but we shall be like Him. It'll be face to face. But then face to face, now I know in part. Now I know in part. Not now I'm able to not know in part. He says, now I know in part. Do you guys know more than in part? Now I see through a glass darkly. Do you see through a glass darkly, or do you see yourself as God sees you? If the New Testament Bible is, if the completion of the New Testament Bible is that, then can you look into the New Testament and see yourself? Or not can you, do you? Do you see yourself as God sees you? You might see some things. They saw some things then. But do you see yourself clearly, 100%? Or as you grow in the Lord, do you find maybe 10 years down the road that maybe you find something more about yourself you didn't like that you didn't know? You don't see. Do you know in part? Right now I ask you this. Do you know in part? But let me ask you this though. When Jesus Christ comes back, will we know in part then? Or the Bible says when we see Him, we shall know Him. We shall know Him as He is. We shall see Him as He is. Excuse me. For we shall know Him. We shall be like Him. For we shall know Him as He is. When that which is perfect has come. Now He says here, He says, for now I know in part and I prophesy in part, but then shall I know. Then shall I know. There'll be a day that I will know as I'm known. I don't know as I'm known. I don't know as I'm known. I don't. Do you? Honest to golly, do you know? Not can you know. You could say can you, but you don't. And you never will. You never will know as you know until Christ comes back. You won't. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as I'm known. Now abideth faith, hope, and charity. He said now. Now. Now, it's been said that I have misunderstood the word now, and that if he could prove what now meant and so forth and that nature. Well, I didn't write this Bible. And I don't want to try to correct anyone that wrote this Bible. Whoever wrote the Bible, I believe they understood what they were writing. And when Paul said then, he meant then. And Paul was using two terms. He was using now and then. And if he meant then abideth faith, hope, and charity, he would have said then. But he didn't say then. And the word that he used, passive or not passive, or whatever however he was trying to explain it, whatever the case may be, he did not say then abideth faith, hope, and charity. And if faith still abides today, which it does, even as the others. Matter of fact, could I not say this? Could I make this statement? Could I, when Paul wrote this, could he have made the statement if he wanted to?
Could he have said, now abideth
tongues,
prophecy, and knowledge? Could Paul have said that right there in the same place, right after he said that? Could he have easily said, now abideth knowledge, tongues, and prophecy? Would that not have been so? But he said, now abideth faith, hope, and charity. Now. Not then.
Now abideth faith, hope, and charity. And if faith abides today,
if faith abides in your heart, then can we believe that when Jesus said whatever we ask and believe, if we did not doubt in our heart, we shall have it? If I ask God, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts. If I desire spiritual gifts like the New Testament Bible has commanded me, if I desire the gift of knowledge, if I desire by the Spirit the word of wisdom, if I desire by the Spirit that if I lay my hands on someone, they'd be healed. Is that not what Jesus said would follow the signs of the believers? Is that not the faith that was once delivered unto the saints? Our minds have been so indoctrinated over the years. Maybe you were born in something and they taught you this over and over and over. I don't know what it is. But I'll tell you this. January 16th, year 2000, I was filled with the Holy Ghost. I began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit of God gave utterance. I didn't choose this. I wasn't raised this way. God called me. And He filled me with that gift. Since that time He's given me gifts of the Spirit. Since that time, I've had hands laid on me and I've been healed. In other words, I've operated in the doctrine that the apostles left. I've operated in what the apostles taught the church at Corinthians. He taught them that they were to do things decently and in order. That there was to covet the better gifts. Matter of fact, I want to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and see how he finished this chapter. He said, verse 39, wherefore, brethren, covet to prophesy. Let me ask you this. As a New Testament preacher, am I allowed to pick up the New Testament Bible, read an epistle to the church, and believe that we can do this today? I'm a New Testament preacher. I am a Church of Christ preacher. You can call me Church of Christ, you can call me Church of God, Assembly of God, whatever you want to call me, but I am a preacher of the Church of Christ. I'm a member of the Lord's Church. Been baptized by one Spirit into that one body. So as a Church of Christ preacher today that I am, of the New Testament, I don't preach the Old Testament as far as commandments and ordinances of sacrifices and stuff. I preach the New Testament only. I might use the old shadows to back up what I say, but I believe we have to obey the New Testament. And as a New Testament preacher, can I read 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 39 and say, wherefore, brethren, covet to prophesy. I say unto you, brethren, when you go down and pray, ask God if what I'm saying is true. Ask Him. Say, Lord, are these gifts true? Because God, you're telling me in your word to covet to prophesy. You want to know why? Because he that prophesies edifies the body of Christ. He that prophesies edifies the body of Christ. Wherefore, brethren, covet to prophesy. Look what he said next. And forbid not to speak with tongues. Forbid not to speak with tongues. How can anyone forbid to speak with tongues? The Scripture says, covet to prophesy and forbid not to speak with tongues. This is the New Testament church. But yet we want to say that, well, you know, this was just written until the New Testament was completed, which the Bible doesn't say. Till the New Testament was completed, and then now we don't need these things anymore. So in other words, I'm writing you this letter. Paul's writing you this letter. But he forgot to let us know, as soon as you get it, don't bother reading these parts because it's not for you today. As soon as you get it and it's completed, you don't need it no more. So why am I putting it in there? So you can know how to do it and how not to do it? So you can know that I don't want you to, when you prophesy, let it be by two and three, and when you speak in tongues, let there be pray that you may interpret, and all these things. Well, I shouldn't be telling you this because, well, as soon as I write it and you receive it, it's not for you today. No, it's for you today. I read you 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and 7 earlier, which clearly states, 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and 7, so that you come behind in no gift waiting until the coming of the Lord. He said, don't come behind. Don't come lacking. The word behind, you can look in different interpretations, it means lacking. Don't come lacking. He said, covet to prophesy. He said, desire spiritual gifts. Don't come lacking. In the spiritual gifts, don't come lacking while you're waiting for the coming of the Lord. They're here till the coming of the Lord. Once hope is here, once the Lord has come, do we need hope? Once the Lord has come, do we need faith? Once the Lord has come, do we need charity? Do we need hope once the Lord has come? No. Because we don't need it. And Paul didn't say it would abide after that which is perfect has come. He didn't say then abide in faith, hope, and charity. He said now. Now abideth faith, hope, and charity. Now! When he was writing the letter, it abides. Not then and will continue on. That's not what he said. Now abides faith, hope, and charity. Faith! He said, he that worketh miracles among you doeth it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith. Miracles are done by the hearing of faith. May God bless you and keep you is our prayer.